One of those perfect places could be the Honduras for my guest, our next guest this morning. She's no stranger herself to Cambridge 105 Radio. She's actually been in to see us last October. Things have moved on since then. At that time, she was still a student, cramming in all she could because she was about to do some mock exams, I would think, at the time. She's just done those, so it's a bit like a catapult that's been released at Hills Road Sixth Form College. Her name's Charlotte Springham. You may recall her. Did I get your age right, firstly, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm 18, yeah.
You are still 18, so the blog's up to date, because sometimes people forget to change them. Unfortunately, we all get a little bit older, but wiser. So you are still 18 years old. You've got a fabulous blog online. We'll tell the listeners where they can go to see you and read more about you there. But you've just had this big bake-off, and you wrote back in to us here at Gwydir Street to tell us of what you were up to at Caldecott on Sunday. In fact, you've so exhausted yourself, you've nearly made yourself unwell.
Yeah.
You had a bit of a recharge yesterday.
Yeah.
So you get your batteries back for us today. It's lovely to see you here again. You've had to raise some money because you are going away. In fact, next month now, it's getting exciting, to Honduras. We should mention, firstly, where Honduras is in the world.
So it's in Latin America, and I always say to people, it's just below Mexico and just above South America, in that little bit that goes in.
I don't know whether it is officially classified in the continent of South America. I suppose it is, being a kind of almost in the Latino.
Yeah, I guess. I think it's Central America, if that's a thing. I think it might be.
Got little El Salvador tucked away, a little bite out of Honduras. You're going to go into pretty much the centre of the country?
Yeah, so I'll be in the southwest, I think. So I'm just south of the sort of centre bit of the country. But people are spread out all over the country. That's just where I happen to be.
Is it a country? I mean, we think of Mexico sometimes, not really a country per capita with a strong economy. But you then get down to Panama, which is a bit further south from where you're going. Honduras, is it a rich, poor place?
Oh,
it's a very general question, really.
It's pretty poor. It's the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, which is why I chose to go there, because I figured they need the teachers the most, they need the help the most, so that's why I picked it.
And to teach, because it's a Hispanic country, the first language, the national language, and people speak Spanish there. You told me earlier on that you're kind of polishing up your Spanish, getting some support.
Well, my mum's Spanish, so I'm half Spanish, so I speak a bit of Spanish at home, but I am nowhere near fluent, so the year will definitely be me becoming fluent to come back.
I'd imagine, Charlotte, in the next few weeks, probably tea time conversations, if you sit down with family, you're probably going to try and force mum to have conversations in Spanish. Will that help, do you think?
I think
you
go? So.
You're going to be partnering her up with one other person for support, but that person's from the UK, but quite a few miles away from you.
Yeah, she's called Giselle. She's lovely. I met her on training in Scotland 2 weeks ago. She's from Devon, and she is just so nice. We have been so well matched. We're so similar, so it's really good.
Oh, that's going to be good, because you never know what might happen. You've got to be a nice duet. You're going to have a good time out there. You're going to be out there for a year.
Yeah.
And you're flying next month.
Mm-hmm. 7th of August, I fly for 12 months.
And you're going along with the same partner from Devon on the same flight, presumably.
Yeah. We're all going together.
What an adventure. Going to be met at the capital, at the airport. But it's not direct flight, though, is it, to Honduras?
It's not. I get to stop over in Houston in Texas for a night and then fly down to Honduras. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, that would make sense, because it's not too far across the Gulf of Mexico from there to get down to Honduras. So you're getting a more local hop. So a little bit of time in Houston.
Yeah.
Good. Two Rockefeller girls going around Houston. Just like the Texans.
Yeah.
And enjoying yourself there. I think you deserve it, because this is voluntary. While you're there, though, how are you funded? I mean, you've got to sustain yourself day to day, food, lodgings.
So the fundraising that I've done this year, the 6,200, has been for food, accommodation, flights, medical insurance, which is really big, because obviously you're there for 12 months in a quite a rural place, so you need something that's going to protect you. And then I sort of get paid the amount an average teacher there would get paid, which pretty much covers like food for a month. It, like, I can't go out on it. It's literally that.
So, you want to go. You want to have a little bit of a break. It's a humid country. It's quite hot there. You want to chill out in the evenings and do something, even if you want to sort of swan down the local bar or something, meet some of the locals. So you're not going to have any extra money in your back pocket?
I'm taking out a bit, because I get a couple of weeks of travelling right at the end of the year after I've done the school year of teaching. So I'm going to be going around doing as much as possible.
And you headed off to the medic yesterday to hopefully get some injections. I don't know what sort of things you need to go to somewhere like Honduras. It's not sort of a country that generally, I suppose, Brits think of wanting to go to tour to, but it's such a fascinating place. I looked it up last night, to find out more about it, a little map and some of the geography. And it's quite a big country.
Yeah.
But you're going to be stuck somewhere in the interior. You're going to obviously have communications there, though, so you can sort of leave a little text home or a little email.
Here, a little bit.
I'm here, Mum and Dad. I made it.
I'm going to be letter writing mostly because phone connection and Wi-Fi are very iffy. They're a bit so-so. So I think letters are quite a good thing to do.
For an 18-year-old, actually, licking down a stamp and sealing down an envelope and writing a letter. It's rather good in its own right, I have to say. So you're going to be out there to teach them English, the pair of you.
Yeah.
At the same time or other, we'll talk more about Project Trust as well in a minute, but are the Project Trust members heading out to Honduras or are they going around the world to other places at the same time?
They send about 200 people out to Americas, to Asia and I think to Africa. So there's about 200 of us spread out, and in Honduras there's about 26 pairs maybe or a bit less, so... We're quite spread there, so there's my pair, there's one who's, my closest pair is 3 hours away, which is considered quite close in Honduras.
At least you'll know that there is someone somewhere else, although I'm sure you'll integrate very well. Your classes then, how big? How many, and what age group are they?
So the school that I'm working in is from 4 till 13, and up until Christmas I'm doing everything that they need, so pretty much any subject. And then after Christmas I'm taking a really intensive class of just English for four-year-olds to be able to get them up to the standard of English you need to be able to go into the school the next year. So I think it'll be quite a big class. They're probably averagely, I don't know, 30 to 40 maybe in a class.
When you say everything they need for the first part of your stay over there, for the first part of your year, so that'll be August till Christmas.
Yeah.
What sort of, I mean, it's not pottery classes, is it? I mean, what are you talking about in terms of the
needs? To be honest, because I'm not out there, I'm not really sure yet, but it'd definitely be things like English, math, science, sort of everything you learn in primary school, a bit of geography, a bit of history. I'm pretty much up for anything anyway.
You're going to have to be an all-rounder, Charlotte, I have to say. You've just finished at Hills Road Sixth Form College, which we said earlier on, so your exams are out of the way, you can relax. You're going to get your results, though, before you leave, or are you going to find out when you get there? There's an envelope that's going to trail its way to deepest, darkest Honduras with your results.
I get an email on the 18th of August, or the 17th, I think, so... I'll be out there. I'll be trying to find an internet cafe where I can get my results.
That's nail-biting in its own right, young lady, I have to say. So you studied, and you want to do this as a gap year.
Yeah.
You want to go into law later on, so you want to go perhaps off to university after this gap year. But what a wonderful thing to do. You brought your friend Ellie along, actually, and I think she's quite envious of you. She's going to be off to University of Cardiff for this year, so she's not going to be gap yearing, at least at the moment, as she sort of progresses and goes off and does some media studies. So it's nice to see her here as well today. But you're going to be doing this, and I'm just thinking... I mean, with the greatest respect to you, you don't have teaching qualifications. I admire you for stepping up and I mean, Ofsted would be right after you if you tried to do this over here, saying, oh, I'm a qualified teacher doing this. But in Honduras, I mean, it really doesn't matter in the same way, does it? I mean, you can just be rational, intelligent, use common sense and get on with the job.
Yeah, I think the problem out there is that a lot of the teachers end up like either going to different countries where the pay is better or just not. They just don't have the levels of education to train. And honestly, having the kind of education we have here that we like take for granted every day is such a benefit out there. And just knowing English, which is what they want to learn, is pretty much the biggest skill I can offer. It's pretty weird to go from like 3 weeks ago sitting in a classroom to
being taught.
Being the one who's like actually at the front teaching. I went into a primary school last week and did my first lesson, and it's so weirdly different, but it's a challenge and I like a challenge, so it's good.
I do admire you. I mean, this can sound so patronising, but I really do admire what you do. The spirit comes across. If we go to your blog, which is Help Charlotte, Help Honduras, you go to the homepage there and find out more about Charlotte. You can see some images of her and this bake-off, which you held. So £6,200 you mentioned earlier on. That's what you've had to raise. Not just from a bake-off that you did in Caldecott on Sunday. What were the other events that you had to support yourself through, shall we say, to get to your target? By the way, are you able to say that you've got to your target?
I'm almost there.
Almost there. How far short?
About 1,000 maybe, so... Yeah, doing everything we can to get there. Like, lots of people are actually really generous. Like, businesses have been, like, Bidwell sponsored me, and, like, I've been match funded on a couple of events. So, like, things like that, and just general donations. I don't know if people realise how much of a difference they make. But I've had, I think, £500 just in donations people just give me, which is quite insane. Like, I'm a bit shocked. I feel so much gratitude because I can't believe that people think that what I'm doing is worthwhile, like, enough to give me money, but it's insane.
There's a lovely photograph of Ian Cumming. He's a regular in this building, actually. He even takes part in things like the Christmas pantomime here. It's a sort of a guest cameo part. There's him with you, wearing a brand of a certain computer project company. And he was fabulous, wasn't he, for you? Because he was judge on Sunday.
He was, and he's just so lovely. Like, he couldn't be more supportive. His wife went away with Project Trust to Zimbabwe when she was 18, so he was, like, more than happy to do the event. He just, he was amazing. Like, not even just judging cakes, like, we just got to chat the whole day, and, like, it was just great to have him there.
He's from the other side of the region, from the Wilbrams, actually. I think it's Great Wilbram where he comes from, so he trekked over to see you guys as well. Not just in your village, but you had a little bit of catchment, because you had some people coming in from Camborne for the event this last Sunday, as well as from Caxton as well, to the village. And you set up literally in the middle of a meadow, didn't you? Just in true Bake Off style, Great British Bake Off style, where they put this big... Yours isn't quite such a large, a grand marquee. But you did your bit. Yeah. And what I thought was fantastic as well, looking at some of your blogs, you even painted some blackboards. So you got some blackboard black, probably most of it all over yourself, but some over the boards. And you put up various signs. And the great thing is you smile all the time. You have fun with it. You had various categories, didn't you? You had the best cake. Was it also, as you imagine, it was being a bake-off, pretty naturally. But somebody did some Honduran quail cake, is that right?
That was amazing. That was Ian's favourite. We had the three categories were Honduran or Caribbean, because I'm going to Honduras, classic, and then a kids. And she won the Honduran with this hopping quail eggs. She was like, I've just got quail eggs in my garden, so I just decided to use them. I was like, okay. And yeah, Ian loved it. So
I'd imagine you need a good score and 10 quail's eggs to make any form of cake. So they were tiny, tiny little things. Ellie took some photographs, and you can find them on the blog for listeners if you want to know where that is. It's helpcharlottehelphonduras.wordpress.com. So it's helpcharlottehelphonduras.wordpress.com if you want to go and see what we are seeing. Not if you're driving, of course. We don't want you to be the next candidate on the A14 in our travel news. But there's some lovely pictures there. A giant teddy as well, a big Ted. What's that all about?
We did a name the bear, because we had some really nice people came and did some stalls in the field on the side of the bake-off, and we just decided to do a guess the name of the bear. So that was, we just had a big bear.
And so how did you get involved with Project Trust? It has been serving 67 countries since 1967. So the slogan actually on Charlotte's t-shirt this morning is 67 countries since 67. Where did you first come across it?
I think my school sent around an email of, like, gap year opportunities, and I was really interested in a gap year because, I'm not going to lie, A-levels are intense, and I want to go to uni, but I wanted a break, and I didn't just want to bop around and do a gap year where you just travel and not do a lot. And I saw them, and I was like, yep, this is good. I'll be helping people. I'll be doing something, going somewhere completely new, like, immersing myself in a new community.
You're feeling a purpose as well, Charlotte.
Yeah.
You're doing something useful with your gap year.
Yeah, I feel like you actually get a sense of fulfillment. Like, I haven't been out there yet, obviously. I haven't started helping, but, like, I can't wait to start doing blogs and start, like, thanking people and being like, this is where your money has gone, and, like, this is what I'm able to do, and I'm, like, able to spread education. I'm such, like, a massive advocate of education. Like, it's so important, and I feel honored, to be honest, to, like, represent Project Trust and to be able to do it.
Wouldn't it be nice if 10 years from now, one of the students that you're going to go out there and teach, somewhere between the ages of 4 or 13, so a bit older, given 15 years maybe, they put enough money together to come from the Honduras and visit you here in the UK. Wouldn't that be lovely?
That'd be insane, yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait to, like, visit again, like, after I've done, and, like, check on the progress and check how everyone's doing. Like, it's amazing.
Now, they've had to check on you in the nicest sense, Charlotte, to make sure that you were a suitable candidate to do this as Project Trust. So you went off to Scotland. We spoke about this last time you were in. Remind us of where you went. It was a rather remote location in the West Highlands of Scotland.
The Isle of Col, which I'd never heard of until Project Trust, but basically I got a plane up to Glasgow, I then got a three-hour coach over to Oban, and then I got a three-hour ferry over to the island, so it is quite a trek.
So it's a lovely train journey actually to Oban, although there's only a train every 2 or 3 hours. I don't really went that way. The National Express coach, I think, goes from central Glasgow, which is the other way to get there, but that's pretty slow. And then it's the Caledonian McBreen ferry, which comes out of beautiful Oban Harbour. You must have thought, this is fabulous up here.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, honestly, I didn't even know Scotland was that pretty, but like now I've been there, I'm in love. Like I would happily live up there. Like I love Cole so much.
You and me both fall in love with the place, I can tell you. But you spent a couple of weeks and you were living with a family.
Yeah. So the selection course I went on last August, I stayed with like an amazing host family. They were called Tim and Jane. And like, oh, they couldn't be nicer, to be honest. They were so nice. And then that was the whole like, that was a week of like checking you could teach, checking you were actually like you actually wanted to go. It's quite a tough year, you know, like you might not have electricity or water or sort of anything you're used to. And then I went back 2 weeks ago and that was all teacher training for a week. So teaching lots of lessons, classroom management, which I'm really bad at. So it'll be good to work on that.
I don't know, Charlotte. I reckon you're pretty organised and all together as far as I can see. So you went, you came back down from eating Arbroath Smokies for breakfast last year, up in the lochs and fynes of Scotland. And then you had to teach more sort of cramming in that teacher training. Where did you do any more after that? Did you sort of have a... Obviously, you had an acceptance letter, which must have been fabulous when that came through on
that
an email
amazing,
or in the post.
Yeah.
Sort of a yippee. I'm sure your parents are very proud of you as well. So you're getting ready now.
Yes.
Deep breath, starting to pack almost everything you can think of. I mean, it's not really a survival thing. It is sort of getting used to probably not having a decent shower every day. I don't know whether you'll be able to do that. I mean, I don't like to think of the Honduras as being third world. But you can obviously develop some local people's education, which is very important. Charlotte, I wish you all the best. I should be following your blog. I should remind listeners again, but we'll have to leave it about there. So it's helpcharlottehonduras.wordpress.com. So if you look there, you can find out what Charlotte has been up to, fundraising. Thank you to Bidwells and Trumpington. We remember them because they've been huge sponsor for you, and those people that took part in the Bake Off as well. And, you know, when it's all over and you get back safe and sound in one piece and you go from being sort of an adolescent to a real adult, because this is really going to put you through your paces, come back and see us, Charlotte,
yeah,
and
to.
Let us know how you got on in the Honduras.
I would, yeah, thank you.
That was Charlotte Springham from Project Trust, who's off to the Honduras next month. We'll look at travel now.